All right, good afternoon. I would like to call the House Transportation Committee order. Today is Tuesday, March 14th, 2023. We're in the Barnes Committee Room, Room 124 of the Alaska State Capitol Building. Let the record reflect that the time is 1:03 p.m. Today we have President Representative McKay, Representative Vance, Representative Stutes, and myself, Chair McCabe. The staff that will be assisting us today are Recording Secretary Suniva St. Clair, Moderator Zach Lawhorn, and my committee aide, Buddy Witt. Thank you all for your service today. We have one item on today's schedule, House Bill 8, an act relating to electric-assisted bicycles, sponsored by Representative Carrick, who is in the gallery, by the way. This is the first hearing for the bill in transportation. Today, we will hear an introduction and an overview of the legislation and invited testimony. Representative Carrick, if you and your staff would like to come forward, place your names on the record, and please begin your presentation.
Great, thank you so much. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the House Transportation Committee. For the record, I'm Ashley Carrick, representative for House District 35 in West Fairbanks. And I want to thank you all for taking the time today to hear House Bill 8, which would add a definition for electric-assisted bicycles into Alaska statute. West Fairbanks, like many communities we represent, includes people that enjoy biking for recreational, for commuting, and for transportation purposes. And I will note, too, that these bikes provide a great deal of freedom to many people who enjoy the recreational activity. House Bill 8 seeks to add a definition in statute for electric-assisted bicycles, bringing clarity to this no longer new but certainly popular form of recreation and transportation, and eliminating a current gray area in statute. This is our second committee of referral in this body, and it's not the first time the bill has been heard in House Transportation. In the previous two legislatures, a version of this bill was brought forward for consideration by my predecessor, Representative Wohl. And in those previous legislatures, the bill was passed in the House with broad support and had also moved through various committees in the other body as well. So today I just want to give a brief and broad overview explaining why this bill is being brought forward for consideration. And then my staff, Stuart Relay, is here to walk through the sectional and introduce our two invited testifiers. So, members of the committee, House Bill 8 on electric-assisted bicycles has three broad goals. First, to regulate electric-assisted bicycles as bicycles. Because there's no current definition for electric bicycles, they are neither a bicycle nor a motor vehicle for purposes of statute. We also want to update the statute to reflect the technological advances that have taken place over time in the recreation and industry of biking, and bring clarity to both consumers and retailers on electric-assisted bicycle laws. So the definition that is provided for the committee to consider today for an electric-assisted bicycle states that a bicycle is designed to travel with not more than three wheels in contact with the ground, has fully operative pedals for human propulsion, and is equipped with an electric motor with a power output that does not exceed 750 watts, which is approximately one horsepower. Both this basic definition and the three-class system that I'll discuss momentarily is currently adopted in 37 other states. So in the industry of manufacturing and selling electric bicycles, there are three classes that are sold, where bikes are bought and sold. Class 1 electric bicycles assist only while a rider is pedaling and stop providing assistance at a maximum speed of 20 miles per hour. Class 2 bicycles can propel whether or not the rider is pedaling and stop providing assistance again at 20 miles per hour, though it's worth noting that these bikes must still also have fully operable pedals. And Class 3 bikes provide assistance only while the rider is pedaling and stop providing assistance at a maximum speed of 28 miles per hour. Again, as I mentioned previously for the committee, 37 states currently have this definition, including the three-class system as a part of their statute language. And there are just four states which have no definition for electric bikes in statute, and Alaska is one of those states. So the bill also further defines a few things which e-bikes are not. We describe that e-bikes are not any of the following, each of which has their own definition in statute. E-bikes are not mopeds, they're not motor scooters, they're not dirt bikes, segways, motorcycles, cars, or electric wheelchairs. And again, all of those devices have their own definition in statute currently. Again, what sets e-bikes apart on a fundamental level is the engine size not exceeding 750 watts, and that e-bikes have fully operable pedals. So they're intended for you to ride and be pedaling. One other thing to note is that electric-assisted bicycles, by and large, look just like any other bicycle. So if you're out on the road or a trail, you can't immediately tell that a bike is an e-bike. Most of the structure that makes an e-bike, the motor and et cetera, is internal to the frame of the bike. So it's not as though it's very easy to determine just by looking at a bike what is an e-bike and what is not currently. And with that, I want to turn it over to my staff to walk through the sectional, and we also have two invited testifiers today.
So if you don't mind, Representative Carrick, I'd just like to put on the record that Representative Craig Johnson and Representative Mina arrived at 1:05 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Stuart Relay, staff to Representative Carrick. As Representative Carrick said, I'm going to read through the sectional. Diving into that, Section 1 of the bill amends AS 19-10-399-9, clarifying that an e-bike is not a car or a truck. The next three sections, Sections 2, 3, and 4, make it so existing language for bicycles includes e-bikes. Section 2 amends 19-10-399, regulating e-bikes as bicycles on paths, right-of-ways, and areas. Section 3 amends AS 28-05-011-alpha to state that electric-assisted bicycles should be regulated as bicycles in regards to the rules of the road. It also includes electric-assisted bicycles under an existing provision allowing municipal ordinances to separately regulate in this area. Section 4 amends AS 28-10-011 to state that to specify that e-bikes do not need to be registered. The next four sections, Sections 5, 6, 7, and 8, all say what an e-bike is not. Section 5 amends AS 28-90-990-12, state that an e-bike is not an electric personal motor vehicle, which is a Segway. Section 6 amends AS 28-90-990-18, specifying that an e-bike is not a car or a truck. Section 7 amends 28-90-990-19. This is pretty self-explanatory that an e-bike is not a motorcycle. Section 8 amends AS 28-90-990-20, specifying that an e-bike is not a moped. And Section 9, this is kind of a larger section, that establishes the three-class system of e-bikes that Representative Carrick mentioned in her opening remarks. And again, this is the industry standard adopted by 37 other states. So just getting into that. A class one e-bike is an electric assisted bicycle, with two operable pedals, and the electric assistance stops at 20 miles an hour. A class two e-bike is one that, the assistance also stops at 20 miles an hour. And it still has to have operable pedals, but you do not have to be operating them to receive the assistance. Section 3 is, class 3 the e-bike only provides assistance when the bicycler is pedaling and the assistance stops at 28 miles an hour. Continuing on with section 9, it also clarifies what an e-bike is. They are bicycles with two fully operable pedals, with not more than three wheels in contact with the ground, have electric motors that do not exceed 750 watts, and fall into one of the three classes I just mentioned. Section 10 amends AS 4123-300. This is the last section, and it basically says wherever a bicycle is mentioned in statute, e-bikes are included in that definition. And that, Mr. Chairman, is the sectional analysis.
Thank you. Are there, before we get into invited testimony, any committee questions, Representative Sumner?
So, through the chair, why is it not more than three wheels instead of not more than two wheels for a bicycle?
Yeah, through the chair to Representative Sumner, there are some trikes out there that, and I'm actually not totally sure what the, prevalence of electric-assisted bicycles that are trikes are, but there are trikes that are sold. They're usually used by folks with disabilities or other kind of mobility impairments or stability challenges. There are also recumbent bikes that have three wheels. And you could also have a recumbent bike that's an electric bicycle. Although, again, I'm not sure the prevalence of those actually in retail stores, but this language just allows for inclusion of some other existing bicycle types.
Representative Vance.
Thank you, through the chair. And, I appreciate this bill is different than what I've seen before. And so, the first question I have is the inclusion of what the bicycle is not. That seems new. And do you have a reasoning of why all of those exclusions are added in this version of the bill?
So through the chair to Representative Vance, that language actually isn't new. I think we have just not emphasized it in the sectional analysis in previous iterations of this legislation. But the Ledge Legal felt it was important to clarify with some of the existing definitions what an electric bicycle isn't. There are quite a number of reference definitions for different types of vehicles, which I learned as I was working on this legislation initially. And so those references are actually not new, but I do think that they're valuable in the sense that we're both clarifying what an e-bike is and making sure there's some conforming language to classify what they're not. So those reference definitions are meant to provide that clarity.
Follow up? Sure. Second question, different than the first. On page 2, lines 17 and 18, it's under B, a user of an electric-assisted bicycle shall be afforded the same rights and be subject to the same duties as a user of a bicycle. And just for public record, can you talk about what those rights are in relationship to the class 3 bicycle? Is it 28 miles per hour? And do bicyclists, and what would this bill would make e-bicyclists still be required to obey the speed limits under those same rights as a general bicyclist? If you could just outline that for the record.
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic question. Through the chair to Representative Vance, essentially what all of Section 3 is doing is saying that electric-assisted bicycles are to be regulated as bicycles, and so any existing provisions which apply to bicycles also apply to electric bicycles. And I'm not sure if it's currently outlined specifically in statute, but I think there's at least general understanding, if not some regulation out there, that says, you know, bicycles are to obey speed limits the way other vehicles are. This conforming language for electric bicycles, in my intent, is to ensure that electric bicycles obey the same rules of the road that currently bicyclists are required to maintain. And Section 3 also, in a different line, also lines out that municipal ordinances are allowed to still regulate in the area for electric bicycles. And so currently, as an example, the municipality of Anchorage has the definition described in this legislation, including the three-class system. However, if the municipality of Anchorage at some point decided to, say, restrict out Class 3 e-bikes from certain areas or put additional regulations on them, they would still have the flexibility to do so, and this legislation wouldn't impact their ability to do that.
Thank you.
Representative Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, in other states where e-bikes have been defined, do any of those states require a license or registration?
Through the chair to Representative Mina, my answer, the answer is likely no, although we might have to get back to you on states that don't have essentially this model language in place. The 37 states that have the language proposed in House Bill 8 have language restricting the need for a license. So in those states, my understanding is no, a license is not required, neither is registration. There are a number of states which have a more limited definition for electric bicycles, and in those states, it's possible they have different requirements.
So I have a question, and I'm probably going to open up a big can of worms, but you just said that Anchorage could regulate. How about the Department of Fish and Game, who says that in a non-motorized hunt, an electric, they are very specific. They say that an electric bike is a motorized vehicle and you can't use it in a non-motorized hunt. So is there, does this cover that? Does this exclude bicycles from that?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our understanding, this is more related to the Department of Natural Resources, but our understanding with this bill is that this version only gives municipalities and the Department of Public Safety the ability to regulate. The companion to this bill in the other body, SB 62, has language allowing the Department of Natural Resources and to limit for like state rec areas. That was adopted at a previous committee hearing of that bill a couple of weeks ago. But to our knowledge, not at this point, no.
And I'll just follow up with that to the chairman. I had considered the amendment that passed through the other body a friendly amendment. My goal is just to clean up the gray area that exists in state statute. So I think if there's the need for that additional flexibility for Department of Natural Resources or Fish and Game, I would consider adding language, you know, allowing them to have separate regulations, the same as municipalities do, a friendly amendment. It's just not something that had been really considered in previous versions.
Thank you. So what I'm specifically interested in is we, not too distant past, we passed a out of committee a bill about military veterans who are disabled being given a free driving license. So I just wonder if there's not a way for them to access a hunt, such as in a non-motorized area, that they wouldn't be able to go because they can't walk very far necessarily, but they could bike if they had an assist like this. I just wonder if that's maybe something we should consider or if that's overcomplicated. I don't want to Christmas tree your bill, but I would think it might be an interesting amendment to put forward. I think the subset of population would be very small, disabled veterans who are also hunters, maybe even old people like me, that our hunters, where it would give us a chance to access a hunt that we wouldn't necessarily have access to because we can't walk that far.
Yeah, and I'll just say to the chair, one of my major goals here is to allow better access for folks who maybe currently have any particular restriction on bicycling to be able to access electric bicycling in those non-motorized areas, unless there's regulation with DNR in the version of the bill in the other body, or if there's municipal regulation against it. But I fundamentally see electric bicycles as bicycles. You know, we have these upper thresholds that you receive assistance at. But anyone who's ridden a bike at 20 miles an hour or faster, it's not a regular thing that one typically does. And so for me, it's... I think the average user of an electric bicycle is using it to provide a little bit of electric assistance to get up hills, to access longer trails, for folks who are a little older or mobility impaired to just have a little bit more enjoyment of bicycling. And so I fundamentally see e-bikes as bicycles, and that's why we wanted to find them that way and allow them on non-motorized trails. I just fundamentally don't see these as dirt bikes or any other type of motorized vehicle.
Thank you. Representative Johnson would like to add.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question, as much as a statement, I would consider removing Department of Fish and Game and unfriendly amendment to this bill. I think the more access we can grant Alaskans, especially those who need help, old guys like you and I, the ability to have access to those that we may have used to have when we were younger, but now we don't. So I think that would be an unfriendly amendment. And so I do intend to Christmas tree this bill a little bit and add to that that would be an appropriate use of an electric bike. So just on notice, and whenever you give me the deadline for amendments, I'll have it to you.
Sure. So the ADF&G website has a frequently asked questions, and it says, do electric bikes have a motor? And ADF&G answers, yes, they do. Whether designed with throttle control or pedal assist, e-bikes are considered illegal in non-motorized areas. Please be aware of this when planning a hunt in an area managed for non-motorized use, such as a controlled use area. So I think the friendly amendment would be to somehow get rid of that language so that it would meet the spirit of your bill. That would be my idea. So, but
I concur with you, Chairman.
Any other questions, Representative Sumner?
So, Mr. Chairman, I think that the proper way to do that would be to add also a reference in AS 1605-920 that defines. Basically says that electric assisted bicycles are not motorized land vehicles.
Sounds like you just talked yourself into an amendment. Perfect. Any other questions? Representative Vance.
Well, I have a question that's, it may be for legal, but the sponsor of the bill could get back to us on this. In looking at this on page one, line 13, beginning at 12, you know, other specific types of vehicles as determined by the Department of Public Safety or other agency having jurisdiction over the way, path, or area. And if there's going to be any changes on what these amendments may be for use in DNR lands, in our parks and things like that, that language should be addressed. And so I guess my question is, do the lines on 13 mean every other department, which would be specifically DNR in my mind, that these that holds most of our state land that the parks and people using these bikes would be on? I don't want to create some kind of loophole, even though I would like our different departments to be able to have authority to be able to make decisions about what's best for that area. I don't want us to neglect that portion of the bill that allows an authority if you're wanting to be prescriptive about certain uses.
I would just say through the chair to Representative Vance, just in general a comment. I mean, I've made my kind of remarks clear about where I see electric bicycles falling in. I'm sort of ambivalent. I'm perfectly comfortable allowing DPS and DNR to make their own regulations and potentially limit certain classes of e-bikes or limit e-bikes as motorized in certain areas. I'm also perfectly comfortable with the idea of saying we're going to make sure that they're considered non-motorized for the purposes of accessing state land. Ultimately, my intention is just to clean up the gray area, so I'm happy to sort of defer to the will of the committee on exactly how we do that. And I neither have a problem with using electric bicycles for hunting, for example, nor have an opposition if the department really pushed back on that and really wanted to make sure that that was a restriction. I'm sort of ambivalent.
Thanks. So any other questions? All right, next we have Lee Hart, Executive Director of the Alaska Outdoor Alliance, online for invited testimony.
All right. Good afternoon, and thank you, Chairman McCabe, and members of the House Transportation Committee, for allowing me to provide information to help inform your deliberations on HB 8, the e-bike bill before you today. For the record, my name is Lee Hart, and I'm a lifelong outdoor recreation enthusiast. I climb, ski, snowboard, and bike every chance I get all year long. I have been fortunate to work in the outdoor industry for the last 2 decades, thus I get to enjoy the perfect work-life balance. In fact, I first landed in Alaska in the epic winter of 2011-2012 to work with a heli ski operator in Valdez. And then after stints in Anchorage and Juneau, 2 years ago, I moved to Haines, Alaska's adventure capital. Since 2018, I have been raising awareness and advocating on behalf of our state's $2.2 billion outdoor recreation economic cluster. In fact, this year, our 8th annual conference is coming to Fairbanks, and I hope we'll see some of you there at least, and we're having robust conversations about the role of outdoors in regenerative economic development. But I come before you today in my role as a leader of the nascent statewide Active Transportation Coalition with members from Fairbanks to Juneau. Some of these groups, including our two municipal planning organizations, AMAS and FAST, which I believe have also provided written testimony in favor of this measure and other written and verbal testimony. This new Active Transportation Coalition is seeded in part by the Alaska Department of Health, which has a federal grant that includes a requirement to make more access to physical activity available to more Alaskans, which is something this bill, I think, will do. First, a bit of level setting, though. E-bikes resemble traditional bicycles in both appearance and operation. The bike's low-speed, nearly silent electric motor provides a boost of power to climb hills, extend the range of trips where a bike can be used, and allow current bike users to bike more often and farther, as well as providing a new recreation option for people who want to bike. And in general, it can extend the range of any ride, which is something I would say to a point made earlier in this hearing, are definitely appreciated by hunters and anglers. At the end of the day, though, you still have to know how to ride a bike. This isn't like some magic pill where you buy the device and suddenly you're off. You know, you still have to have bike basic life skills. But reasons for purchasing an e-bike vary, with some, like college students, looking for an alternative commuting mode, and others, like seniors, looking for a less physically demanding bicycle option to or help pedaling up hilly areas, which are plentiful in Alaska. E-bikes may also provide a more attractive and feasible choice to take short trips. According to the U.S. Department of Transportation survey data, half of all trips in the U.S. are 3 miles or less in length, a distance widely regarded as a bikeable range for most adults, and even more feasible for electric bike riders. For this reason and others, e-bike sales have grown 300% in the past 5 years, making them the fastest growing segment of the bicycle industry. And that's according to an article in Bicycle Retailer and Industry News. The language of HB 8 aligns, as has been said, with the same language in 37 other states that have created this three-tier definition of e-bikes. Consistency of definition and an understanding of where, generally, each type of e-bike can travel is good for bike manufacturers like Alaska-based 907 and Fatback Bikes, retailers from Beaver Sports, Prospector Outfitters, Goldstream Sports, and REI Co-op and Fairbanks and Anchorage, plus Trek, Speedway, Chain Reaction, among others in the Anchorage Bowl, and Backcountry Bike and Ski in Palmer. Membership in our state's numerous mountain bike and cycling clubs and race organizations total in the thousands and range from places like Kodiak Island Mountain Bike Association, Homer's Cycling Club, Valley Mountain Bikers and Hikers, a bunch of them in Natsu, as well as Anchorage and the Juneau Mountain Bike Alliance, and more. So you can find e-bikes even in the heart of Southeast at established sales, rental, and bike tour companies in Sitka, Juneau, Yakutat, and elsewhere. E-bikes are here and more are coming. Reducing confusion, which can be a barrier to sales and use of bikes, is good for business and good for expanding access to healthy lifestyles for even more Alaskans. I applaud you, Chairman McCabe, and members of this committee, as well as our sponsoring, the bill sponsors, Senator Kawasaki and Representative Carrick, and their staff, and others, for their leadership on this issue. And I hope this measure will pass. And thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Hart. Next, we'll go to Jackson Fox from the Fairbanks Area Surface Transportation Planning Group. Mr. Fox, please put your name on record and begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is Jackson Fox, and I'm the Executive Director of FAST Planning. And thank you for the opportunity to speak here today, Chairman McCabe. So FAST Planning, we are the state-designated metropolitan planning organization for the Fairbanks North Pole area. And we have a local bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee that meets on a monthly basis. And our local committee has reviewed House Bill 8 and stated their unanimous support for the language in the bill. Specifically, our bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee supports providing a definition in statute for e-bikes and categorizing them as bicycles and not motor vehicles. We also support waiving the DMV registration for e-bikes since they are not motor vehicles, as well as separating e-bikes from motor-driven cycles, such as motorcycles, motor scooters. We also support defining e-bikes across the three classes, which again is consistent with model legislation in 37 other states. And we believe that this will help state agencies and local jurisdictions individually decide which types of e-bikes are allowed on their non-motorized facilities, including sidewalks, shared use paths, and trails. So our committee supports the language in whole and has no revisions or amendments to offer at this time. And we will have a signed letter of support to provide to Representative Carrick's office later this week. So thank you again for the opportunity to provide testimony on House Bill 8.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. We appreciate your testimony. And I don't see anybody else online, so if you'd, I guess we're going to take a brief at ease. Back on record, had a little IT issue that we were dealing with for those who might be interested. So any questions for the committee members from anybody, any of our testifiers online? Nope. I do know, and I have read, that the e-bikes are the number one selling electric vehicle in the country right now. In fact, there's three of them out at one store out there in the valley away, so I've been looking at them. Who knows? I just don't want to have to register it, so I might have to. Maybe this is a self-serving bill. So, anyways, do any committee members have any additional questions? Nope. Do you want to wrap up, Representative Carrick?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really appreciate the opportunity to bring the bill forward again, and thank you all for the great questions and considerations. I look forward to seeing some amendments, it sounds like.
Thank you. And so I suspect what I'm going to do is I will send an email to the committee members and see if there's any interest in amendments. And we'll probably set this bill aside for now, but I plan on bringing it back up. And I will give you all an amendment date via email if that's okay with you all. And we'll bring it back up for amendments and discussion in the next 2 weeks, depending on how busy we are. That's all right with the committee. I'm happy with that. Okay, any other additional questions for the committee? Representative?
No, just a comment. Ryan Reddington won the Iditarod.
Ryan Reddington did win the Iditarod, and he's a constituent of mine.
Is he? Wow. So congratulations.
Go Knick.
Yeah.
All right. So seeing no other business before this committee, we will adjourn at 1:38.